How are you?
Hello, Mickey dear.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I trust you are well.
Yes, I'm very well, dear.
That is good.
Thank you.
I'm going to speak to you very nicely today.
Why?
Because I feel very nice.
Oh, good.
Wouldn't you like that?
Oh, I would.
Yes.
I thought you were a bit offhand with me last time.
Whatever makes you think that? Why should I be offhand with you?
Well, you were very down to the point and businesslike.
Oh, I must have been teasing you.
Oh, probably.
I was probably pulling your leg.
Oh, well, that's all right. I didn't take much notice anyway.
What can I do for you, especially today?
Well...
Yeah, Mickey, come back to yourself.
I leave it entirely in your and Brother John's hands.
Yes. Brother John is very fond of you, and he comes to see you every day, he does.
Yes,
and
know.
He tries to help you in every way he possibly can.
I know that, dear.
Yes.
I'm very conscious of him.
Mickey, be yourself. Trying to be posh doesn't suit Mickey.
Well, one should speak correctly, should one not?
Oh, one should.
Yes. When you go onto the platform, I am sure you do speak as nicely as you possibly can, do you not?
Well, I do, because I'm not myself, you see, and somebody else is speaking through me.
Did you stand up there and you let them take complete control of you?
I try to.
And you forget little Daisy Judge.
Well, some bits of her pop in now and again.
You do not drop your H's, do you?
No.
You are funny.
That's neutral, I was going to say.
I don't like Mickey when he puts on an air and grays. Well, I don't like it. It doesn't sound natural, doesn't sound right. Does it? Have you ever heard him do this before?
Yes, not for long.
Bless you, my child.
God bless you, dear. In every way.
Hold on.
Yes.
Won't be a moment.
Very well. Thank you.
Had you got anything special you wanted Brother John to discuss, you know?
Well, I had got a thought.
But I myself have my own message.
Yes, thank you.
Which may well encompass that which you have in mind.
Thank you.
I am most desirous of endeavoring, if possible, to clarify a very important point or factor which so often is misunderstood or misinterpreted by so many who are interested in spiritual matters irrespective of whether they be spiritualists or not. We so often hear of the need, of the great necessity indeed, of those who are immersed in material things, living upon earth, that they should withdraw from the world, at times mentally, that they may open up their spiritual faculties, that they may in some measure develop those gifts of the Spirit, that they might be used and made manifest upon earth, bringing comfort and solace and healing and all that is of the Spirit into your world that is possible by these endeavors. All this is very necessary and very true, but I oftentimes think there are those in your world, anxious though they are to evolve spiritually and to develop the gifts of the Spirit and manifest them among men. And yet I oftentimes feel there are many who lose the path, who lose the way. Sometimes it is difficult for the individual to realize or understand why this should be. There are those who in their desire for spirituality, particularly among religious bodies of people, there are those who are so anxious to evolve mentally and spiritually that they neglect the material to such an extent that they endeavor to withdraw as far as possible from material things, avoiding the temptations of your world, often neglecting their duties to their fellow man in consequence, and without realizing it, become self-centered and selfish in their anxiety to become spiritual. They lose an aspect and part of themselves which in itself is a very bad thing. I think it is so important to realize that while you are in, as you are, a material world, that you must accept the position in which you find yourself. You must utilize every moment of your living day to the advantage of others. You must forget yourself and even sometimes your aspirations in the desire that you shall serve others, that you should assimilate to a great extent all that life shall bring or offer, that you should not necessarily always resist experiences of a material nature. There are those, of course, who will advocate and say that you must resist this or that, that you must turn your back on this experience or that, that you must set your mind purely and solely and wholly on things of the Spirit. This is not necessarily always wise, nor necessarily always possible. What I feel one should realize is the importance of the material life, that it has its place, and that it is essential and necessary that you should take from the material many things which only the material can give, because by these experiences, by the daily complexities which face the average man, we find our strength, and to some extent the door is opened a little wider for the things of the spirit in consequence. This is not generally discussed or even understood when it is. When we come from spirit, of course we are advocating the spiritual life. And we are advocating that you should always endeavor to do the things that are of God, the things that are good, the things that will uplift oneself from the complexities and indeed in some aspects of material life, the mire of material things. But I do feel it's necessary and essential to clarify this position in which so many find themselves puzzled and bewildered. And there are so many souls in your world who are in themselves good people, but who miss, day by day, many opportunities to serve the children of God, to open the door for others less fortunate. You see, there are so many who are so anxious to save themselves that in that desire, with that fixed point of view that they have, that to achieve and to do this they must completely, as it were, as far as it is humanly possible, cut themselves off from material things. They are constantly thinking of themselves and the aspiration of the spirit. And in a sense, they are making it even more difficult for themselves, because they are neglecting those whose needs are many around and about them. There are many who are called to listen and to be helped by the Spirit. And there are some who endeavor wholeheartedly. And there are others who heed not the voice of the Spirit and in consequence are blind to the things of the Spirit. But the whole point of this talk today is that it is essential that if you are going to achieve spiritually, the first and most important factor is the motive. There are so many in your world, in their various religions, whose one desire is to be saved, so that when they leave your world, they shall be acceptable in the sight of God, that they shall dwell evermore in the luminosity of the love and the power of God. But this is not the way to find peace of mind. This is not the way to find spiritual achievement and spiritual attainment and everlasting happiness, by thinking only of oneself and that reward that is to come. Indeed, I would go as far as to say, the more you neglect material things and the more you forget others in search of self, the less likely you are to achieve peace and happiness and joy in the realms of spirit. It is vital that in your material world you move among the peoples of earth, entering into their lives, not turning your back on those whom the world calls sinners, but mingle with them, trying to help them and uplift them as best you can. It is wonderful to withdraw from earth occasionally in the quietitude of the circle or the church, and to open up your mind and your heart to the things of spirit, to listen to the voice of spirit, to commune with spirit. But unless you yourselves are going to give yourselves completely, solely, and wholly for others less fortunate in your world, and give your time and give all that you can of yourself to the helping of others. Extent that they leave all material things undone, and they seek only for themselves, no matter even if their motives seem good, in the evolving of their spiritual selves, if they have done this or endeavored to do this, by neglecting the material and the good that they might do or have done when on earth in the material world, in giving love and brotherhood and kindness and service to the less fortunate, unless they have given of themselves completely, they cannot truly find themselves in heaven.
Do you think I stay apart too much?
There are those who will say, avoid so much of the material, to keep, as it were, your mind clear and free, so that one is not, as it were, contaminated by the mire. There are so many sayings, of course, in your world, that those who touch pitch shall be tired by it. And yet I say, and I convey this with all the warmth and love of my being, that it is better to touch. And even if to some extent you become contaminated, the fact that you've endeavored to serve and to help and you have not turned your back on the less fortunate, out of all this shall come good. And there is no reason why one should not become, in a sense, contaminated and yet be purified. Why should one should not become, to some extent, ennobled? You know, the world is made up of many, many issues, many, many factors, many conflicting thoughts, ideas, and opinions. It is made up of many peoples, of many classes, colors, and races. Life, in a sense, is full of contradictions, and yet in the hearts and minds of all God's children there is the germ of truth, there is the beauty of the soul that is not completely obscured by the complexities and the difficulties and the problems and the evils of your world. And it is so necessary and essential for man's experience, so that he can understand and know and have feeling and emotion in regard to others, that he should to some extent mingle with the bad, if you must so call it, or the worse, that one may appreciate the better and the good. I would not have you or anyone avoid the world in which you live, to shun where there are human beings who are in need of help and comfort and enlightenment, to shun them, that you might gain some advantage in a spiritual sense, or so it must seem. There are those, of course, we know, who sit in circles, and who are well-meaning, anxious for spiritual evolution and development, who close, as it were, out of their lives as best they may all the unpleasant things of life. But can you not see that if it were not for the endeavors of some to counteract the evils of your world, to endeavor to serve and to work among the less fortunate, or where, for instance, they see things happening which are, by the very nature and the act, abhorrent to them and to God. When we see the cruelties in your world, taking, for instance, the cruelty to animals, if people, because they do not wish to be contaminated or do not wish to be upset or unduly worried or concerned, turn their back on the less fortunate ones. Those, for instance, in the way of the animals who are in no position to defend themselves. If man turned his back on the miseries that are created for the lesser so-called creatures by man's attitude and action towards them, if nothing was done, then these evils, these terrible things would continue. I know you can say they still continue, in spite of the efforts made by the few. But nevertheless, those who are endeavoring to save, or to help, or to give comfort to the less fortunate, these are the true spiritually minded souls. These are the ones who are evolving. They may not be evolving in circles. They may not be evolving in the church as such, or their particular religion. The point is that service is the only key that will unlock the door of spiritual progression. And that is why I say you must not shut your eyes to the evils of your world. You must combat them. You must mix with the people if necessary and endeavor to help them to change, that they may be guided into the paths of righteousness and of truth and illumination of the mind and the spirit. I hear so much of spiritualists and others who do not want to be mixed up, as they call it, or associated with these conditions, because they would affect their evolution or development in the circle and so on. This is no good. You must know of these things and intermingle, if necessary, with them. But it does not mean to say that you must follow in the paths of others. You can be sympathetic and helpful and kind and generous and give of yourself. But when you sit to commune, I think it is, in a sense, good to think of these lesser souls, these unfortunate souls whose needs are so many, that your thoughts can go out by the very power of the circle to help them. We hear so much nonsense talked among spiritualists about conditions. Conditions are very important, and it is vital that when you sit for the evolution and development of the spiritual self, that you should endeavor to achieve and attain as high as it is possible for you to reach. But if it is to be done in selfishness, if it is to be achieved by the neglect of the less fortunate, without the attempts being made to help the less fortunate, then it is of no use, of no avail. There are so many who are unconsciously, perhaps, hypocritical, who just do not understand or realize that if they wish to attain the heights, they must also taste of the depths. They must have had experience that they may be able to sympathize and feel for the less fortunate. There are so many paths, but there is only one real path, and that is by losing oneself in love, serving humanity, and then you will begin to open up the mind. And the spirit shall be released from the confines of the material, and it will enable you to be strengthened to serve others, and in consequence make possible the path for yourself. Do not fear the conditions and the environments of the earth, nor the lesser peoples of the earth whose minds have not reached to the realms of spirit, but whose minds are confined to material things. Their needs are many and great. To them we must go, to them we must turn, to serve, to help, to uplift. If we are to evolve, we shall only evolve when we have lost ourselves in love and in service, and made the path clear and straight for others, that they may trudge that path towards the light of the Spirit, We must be like the Samaritan of old. Though we are anxious to reach the Golden City, we are prepared to stop on our way to help less fortunate by the wayside, to help those who are maimed and blind, whose needs are so many, whose distress is so great. If we forget momentarily ourselves, we shall not lose by it. If we help those whose needs are so much greater than our own, until we learn to give completely, we cannot find the eternal peace. This is my message to you and to all who listen to my voice. It is good to attain the realms of the Spirit, but in the attaining we must remember that it is only by service and in love that we shall find that peace which the conditions of earth do not necessarily make possible, but which are yet to be found when the task of earth is finished. Give of yourselves completely and wholly, and forget yourself, and in love you will find the true path and the happiness that comes at the end of the road. This I do so earnestly beseech you to do, to forget yourself. Then truly you shall find yourself. My love, my blessing be with you.
God bless you.
Farewell, my child.
Thank you, dear, very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Mickey, dear.
It was very good today.